Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Super Tuesday. Yes, Super Tuesday today. A whole bunch of states are going to be voting for their party's primary candidate. It's like 15, 16 states, and of course, American Samoa, and Donald Trump has a commanding lead now. He might have a devastatingly commanding lead over Nikki Haley at the end of the day. But we won't know until tomorrow. So there's really no point in spending too much time obsessing about the Super Tuesday primaries, is there? Donald Trump won North Dakota's caucus last night, so he broke Nikki Haley's streak of one in a row. She won the D.C. primary and then lost North Dakota. But we'll cover it all tomorrow morning, actually, on 910 a.m., Superstation 910 a.m. out of Detroit. You'll be able to listen. I'll be hosting from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, and we'll have full Super Tuesday coverage. So join me, won't you? And then Thursday and Friday, I'm going to be in for Rich Zeoli on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. So we'll get into all of that. We will cover all of it, my friends. We will drill down deep into it. And we'll have some fun, too, along the way. What do I mean when I say we'll have some fun? Well, you know, every time I get a new great, great clip from Donald Trump, I make sure we rebuild the Trump Train song. And if you're new to the planet and you haven't heard it, here it is. Come on, everybody. Join hands.
Day one, I will sign a new executive order to cut federal funding for any school pushing critical race theory, transgender insanity, and other inappropriate racial, sexual, or political content onto our children. I will keep men out of women's sports. We will protect innocent life, and we will restore free speech, and I will secure our elections. We want a landslide. We have to win. We have to win so that it's too big to rig.
Tell all the world to join hands and form a Trump train, a Trump train. Tell all the world to join hands and form a Trump train, a Trump train.
Too big to rig.
I like that. I like that. I think that should be the motto of the target for the Trump campaign. You got to have such a victory, an overwhelming victory, that it is
too big to rig.
Nobody can come back the next day and go, hey, we found this van with all these ballots inside. What do you want to do? Too big to rig. I like it. We'll see tomorrow. As I said, we'll cover it all as we do our Super Tuesday post-op on Wednesday. And today being the 5th of March, let me do a little This Day in History because it is Super Tuesday. It's Absinthe Day. It's Cheese Doodle Day, so I wouldn't mix cheese doodles and absinthe, though I think that's probably a bad idea. It was on this day in 1821. President Monroe was inaugurated on March 5th because March 4th, the previous inauguration date, was a Sunday. And back then, we actually didn't do stuff on Sundays because, you know, we might have gone to church or something. Just saying. On this date in 1918, the Soviets moved the Russian capital from Petrograd to Moscow, where it still is today, the Russian capital. 1933, FDR, having been sworn in just a couple days earlier, stopped the trading of gold. Yeah, you weren't allowed to have gold. That's when FDR started messing with currency, et cetera, as well. You know, he's going to wake up in the morning and decide how much gold is worth. Not the free market, the government. And we'll talk about that, too, because now Joe Biden has a strike force that he's put into effect that we're being told is going to lower the cost of food and medicines and everything because, you know, the government getting involved always makes things cheaper, only it doesn't, right? Yep, that's the reality. It was also on this date in 1946. the one and only Winston Churchill was in America, was in Missouri, and he was giving a speech known mostly to historians as the Sinews of Peace speech. But to the rest of us, it was the first time that Churchill uttered a phrase that would then become part of the language.
From Stettin in the Baltic to Trieste in the Adriatic, an iron curtain has descended across the continent.
An iron curtain has descended across the continent. Yeah, we became aware of the geography of communism's invasion. The iron curtain descended across the continent. It is so weird that that happened at Westminster College in Fulton, Missouri. I always thought that was probably in front of the Parliament until I actually started studying history. And then I saw that and I went, wow, that's pretty cool. So on this day, back in the day, Winston Churchill. Also in 1956, Brown versus the Board of Education, the Supreme Court reaffirmed bans on segregation in school. You can't segregate the schools. And on this date in 2004, Martha Stewart was convicted of obstructing justice. That was in that insider trading thing. She actually went to prison. Well, it was more of a prison camp. They didn't really have a fence. They had a hedge. And she was out in a few months. But there it is. On this day back in the day, as I said, it is Super Tuesday. And the most important thing ahead of the Super Tuesday results is the breaking news that MSNBC has bed bugs at their New York City offices. And yes, I was laughing a little bit because it's just kind of crazy to me to think that those wacky lefty liberals, progressives are now being invaded by bed bugs. And what is Rachel Maddow doing? Hey, wait a minute. A billion years ago in 2009, when I worked at Air America, yes, I worked at Air America. That's where Rachel Maddow had a radio show before she became a monster star on MSNBC. We had bed bugs at Air America in the studios, and they had to fumigate the joint. I wonder if Rachel Maddow is like the bed bug carrier. She was at Air America. I'm just throwing that out there. Kind of a weird thought, isn't it? Yesterday, of course, was a big day as Donald Trump scored the win in the Supreme Court that pretty much everybody saw coming. Donald Trump scored 9-0. The states can't keep a candidate off a ballot for a federal election. States can't have that kind of power over a federal election. So good for the Supreme Court, all 9 of them voting in the affirmative on Trump's behalf. That's really good. We're also watching stories regarding Hunter Biden that aren't getting a whole lot of attention. Hunter Biden met with somebody that he referred to as the effing spy chief of China. He didn't abbreviate it. He said the full thing. So now we know that Hunter, in his crazy business days, actually met with the guy that he thought was the head spy chief of China. And another one of Hunter's business associates says that Hunter actually called Joe from a Russian party asking to drag this deal across the finish line, asking for Joe to intervene. So when are we going to get some real action on this? When is the Biden crime family going to become fully exposed on this? Just play the game and flip the roles. If this was Don Jr., you know he'd already be in leg irons. Absolutely. A couple other crazy stories before we get to some stuff I have to share with you, some clips I have to share with you. Atlanta, you know, that was where CNN had the CNN Square. They had their headquarters there. They've kind of moved out of downtown Atlanta. I guess it's just gotten a little too kooky and they're in the suburbs now. They even took the CNN letters off CNN's center. So no CNN center in Atlanta anymore. North Carolina has a manhunt for a couple of guys who are poaching. What are they poaching? Venus flytraps. I had no idea where Venus flytraps came from. You know, when we studied them as kids in school, I thought they were some kind of exotic tropical plant. No, They're native to North Carolina's eastern area. But you're not allowed to dig them up and take them and sell them. And somebody dug up 600 of them. So they're wanted. Wanted fugitives who have 600 stolen Venus flytraps. Yeah. How do you know when you have too much money? That's just a question I want to ask. How do you know when you have too much money? At one time during the 80s, Richard Dreyfuss, the great actor Richard Dreyfuss, said that cocaine was God's way of telling you you have too much money. Just throwing that out there. How do you know if you have too much money? If you buy a ticket to a Taylor Swift concert and the ticket costs $700, but you can't even see the stage, you're just going to sit behind something and be in the room. You paid $700 to be in the room. You have too much money. I'm just saying, that seems to make sense to me. You have too much money. Jeff Bezos is back being the world's richest man as the fortunes of Elon Musk have diminished slightly. He's still got more money than he'll ever spend in his entire lifetime. But Bezos is now number one and Musk is number two. Watch for that battle to continue. And speaking of billionaires battling for position, Mark Zuckerberg's $260 million survival bunker. The plans are now showing up. He's building it in Hawaii, which is kind of interesting. He's building this in Hawaii. $260 million. Wow. Absolutely craziness. I can't wait to be invited out for the first day at the $260 million. He's got a lot of billions, though. I wonder if he'll be arming it, because, you know, that's not exactly the friendliest place to those of us who like the Second Amendment. Well, we might as well put a button on this story. We talked about it the other day. The booth that was in The Sopranos final scene, they sold it last night for $82,600. Somebody else has too much money. The guy who owned the restaurant, ice cream parlor, wherever this was in Jersey, thought he was going to get about 10 grand, and he was going to need that to help put in new booths and new upholstery in his little joint. Well, he got $82,600. Guess who else is going to get their beak wet on that? Yes, the government. When you sell stuff on eBay, the government automatically gets their cut before you get your money. It's beyond irritating, isn't it? Yeah, I know. It's considered a job. It's considered income to the federal government. A couple other items to make mention of here before we talk to our friend Jim Stovall. You know the photo that Eisenstadt took on VJ Day when a sailor in Times Square grabbed a nurse and planted a kiss on her, and it became one of the most famous photos marking the end of a really critical part of World War II. Well, today we learned that the Veterans Administration has decided that that photo, that iconic image that Eisenstadt took, must be removed, banned from all Veterans Affairs facilities. They put out a memorandum just a couple days ago, and it requests the removal of the VJ Day in Times Square photograph from all Veterans Health Administration facilities in alignment with the Department of Veterans Affairs' commitment to maintaining a safe, respectful, and trauma-informed environment. That's the actual term they used. It's going away. And this is just nuts. Absolutely nuts. They give instructions. You know, the day in Times Square should be removed from all VHA facilities. This action reflects our dedication to creating a respectful and safe workplace and in keeping with our broader efforts to promote a cultural inclusivity and awareness. It's a moment in history where a guy and a girl, I know the heterosexuality of it offends so many of you. Stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it. This is from Rima Ann Olson, the Assistant Undersecretary for Health Operations. Your cooperation in this matter is vital. please ensure that these photographs are promptly removed and facilities explore suitable replacements that honor our history and veterans in a manner consistent with our values. They're removing history. They are becoming the Taliban. They're going to tear down statues. They're going to burn books. They're going to probably have a pile of these photos now that they're going to burn somewhere. This is so offensive. And yet now we have a person, part of our Space Force, an officer in Space Force, who is giving public addresses on inclusivity. And it is a biological male who is pretending to be a female. And that's the new normal. And we are now forcing the VA to get rid of all these photos. It's truly madness and insulting to everyone who served. It's just not acceptable. And that's why the election 245 days from today is more important than ever. And I hope you realize that now. I really do. The border continues to be a problem. And I keep asking myself, what the hell happened to Democrats? You know, we've got 10, 12, how many millions of people just under Biden who've come across? But what the hell happened to Democrats? I'm old enough to remember when a young Senator Barack Obama was talking about immigration.
I think we should have strong border security. It doesn't make sense for us to allow hundreds of thousands of people coming through our borders without us knowing who they are.
Huh. That doesn't make sense, does it? No. No, it doesn't. And we don't even fingerprint the people that we catch. I'm not talking about the gotaways, the people who are sneaking in anyway. We just learned yesterday that the Biden administration has flown on airplanes that you and I paid for 320 plus thousand people into the country in order to make it safer for the border. They're telling us it's safer for the border agents if we just pick them up and fly them here so they don't have to come across the Rio Grande or come across the desert border. And they won't tell us where they've flown them. But yet, it wasn't that long ago in 2007, Barack Obama was saying actually good things about a border policy that would be actually called, you know, offensive today by Democrats.
Oftentimes in very hazardous situations and unmonitored situations that could do us long-term damage. I think we should have a serious employer verification system where employers, when they hire somebody, find out what their work status is. Are they able to work here legally? Right now, what employers will say is, well, we check their Social Security card. That's the best we can do. So we've got to set up a tamper-proof system and then hold employers accountable.
Now, Obama is also reflecting the typical Democrat thinking. The answer to the problem is not necessarily secure the border, but it's also to create more government. But wait, he has more things to say.
This, for some, is the most controversial part, that we've got to have a pathway to citizenship for the 12 million people or so who are already here. You pay a fine, you learn English, you stay out of trouble, you've got...
Wait. You have to learn English? God, what a racist Obama was.
A job. You go to the back of the line so that those who came here legally, that backlog is cleared before you have opportunities for citizenship. That is a reasonable approach.
A reasonable approach. 2007. How did it get so far afield? How did they get so far out of line so quickly? How did that happen? It's almost unbelievable how far the Democrats have drifted. It's almost, you can't even believe it. The same year in 2007, during one of the CNN town halls ahead of the election, when Obama had declared his candidacy, he talked about illegals coming across the border and giving them a pathway to citizenship as well.
We are a country of immigrants. We're also a country of laws. And the question is, how do we balance that appropriately? I am hopeful that we can solve this problem constructively. I think Joe is exactly right that we want to have a situation in which those who are already here are playing by the rules, are willing to pay a fine and go through a rigorous process should have a pathway to legalization.
Now, he forgot about learning English there, you know, so he didn't mention learning English. In just a couple of months, he changed.
And I think most Americans will support that if they have some sense that the border is also being secured.
What? What? You're going to secure the border? Wow. Again, 2007.
What they don't want is a situation in which there is a pathway to legalization and you've got another several hundred thousands of folks coming in every year. And that, I think, is a sensible position we should be able to arrive at.
Yeah, but you didn't and you won't. And now we're overrun. From 2007 to present. It is truly amazing and astounding. And kind of frightening as well. Now, John Fetterman's an interesting case. Senator John Fetterman, the guy who had the stroke, he is suddenly turning out to be somebody who's reasonable. Talked about strengthening the border and maybe looking at the Republican House bill. I think it's H.R. 2 on the border.
At least I, as a Democrat, you know, am willing and eager to go stronger than the border deal that was here. It might be actually appropriate given the circumstance here at the border.
Yeah, appropriate. He's talked about giving Israel the ability to defend itself as well. Could a stroke have healed John Fetterman? Maybe it has. Just amazing. And let's not forget Chuckie Schumer. I'm old enough to remember Chuck Schumer when he was a strong advocate of strong action on our borders. This was from 2009.
People who enter the United States without our permission are illegal aliens, and illegal aliens should not be treated the same as people who entered the U.S. legally.
Wow, illegal aliens. Gosh, I call them invaders. Now they want to call them newcomers. Continue, Chucky.
Illegal immigration is wrong, plain and simple.
Whoa, illegal immigration is wrong, plain and simple, out of the mouth of the Senate Majority Leader.
Until the American people are convinced that we will stop future flows of illegal immigration, we will make no progress on dealing with the millions of illegal immigrants who are here now. When we use phrases like undocumented workers, we convey a message to the American people that their government is not serious about combating illegal immigration.
Yeah, you're not serious. Well, you just want more voters. That's really what this is about. I think we understand that. And then there's Joe Biden, who's had more positions on the border and immigration than he's had on, well, just about anything.
We can deal with securing the border by national technical means. All the bad things are coming through ports of entry right now. We don't need a wall. And by the way, I would immediately, as president, surge to the border. I would end this notion for the first time in history that people seeking asylum have to be in squalor on the other side of the river and in a desperate situation. They should be able to come to the United States and have a judgment made as whether or not they qualify. I would also surge to the border, immigration judges to make decisions immediately. And no one would be put in jail while waiting for their hearing.
But what about the people who we know are criminals? Yeah, put them in jail and then deport them. Only Venezuela doesn't want them back. It is so frustrating, and I hope it maintains the top issue position 244 days from now when we're getting ready to go to the polls, unless you voted early enough. Remember, too big to rig. We got to be too big to rig. That's the important thing. All right, I don't want to spend too much time throwing clips at you when we're going to all be curious about what's going to happen tomorrow and telling you how big Donald Trump's victory is on Super Tuesday. Super Tuesday! I do have my friend Jim Stovall joining us. Jim Stovall, you know, the guy behind the Winner's Wisdom column, behind more than 50 books that he has written. He's an amazing guy, and he's written 50 books after he lost his eyesight. A blind guy, written 50 books, and 9 of them been made into movies. He's also the inventor of the Narrative Television Network, which allows blind people to enjoy movies and TV And every week, Jim and I talk about his column, his Winner's Wisdom column. This week's column caught my attention, Jim. It is combining a couple of my favorite things, Gandhi and golf. I love it. Welcome, my friend.
Well, it is great to be with you today. We're going to talk about forgiving and forgetting. And as you know, thanks to high-speed digital audio, even as a blind guy, I'm able to read a book every day, and it's changed my life. And several months ago, I read a book about an ESPN golf writer who wrote about his favorite 18 people, you know, reminiscent of the 18 holes, and kind of his life in golf. And he went around, and of course, he spent some time with Arnold Palmer, and then he went and met with another guy who it was Ken Venturi. And Venturi talked about how he and Palmer had played in this tournament, and Palmer hit the ball out of bounds, but he wasn't sure, so he hits a provisional ball, and it was a foul, but the official didn't see it that way, and later they did. So anyway, Venturi loses this tournament by one stroke. And it was determined later that Palmer did not cheat. And, well, years later, they asked Palmer what his memory was. He had no memory of this at all. He said, Ken's a great friend. I have no memory of this. 50 years later, on his deathbed, Ken Venturi, who became famous not for as much for his golf as for being a great announcer, but on his deathbed, he was still bitter about, he was angry about the fact that, you know, Palmer had cheated him out of this thing. And, you know, he carried that for half a century with him. And Gandhi probably said it best, you will not be punished for your unforgiveness. You're punished by it. I see so many people, they carry this stuff around. Whether somebody did something wrong to you or not, you know, it's just not worth it. I mean, if not for their benefit, for your own, just let it go. People are just carrying this stuff around forever. I talked to a mutual friend of ours yesterday, and she was telling me one of her mother's stories. Huh. And apparently, in the distant past, 40 years ago, someone at a family function was going out for Chinese food. And they asked everybody what they wanted, and neglected to ask her what she wanted. So they came back and had Chinese food for everybody but her. 40 years later, she still regularly is bitter about this, and everybody involved in the incident has now died, and she's still mad about the Chinese food. And just let it go. And one of the real great things Crystal and I have in our marriage is something that we got out of scriptures and other great wisdom. We call it the sunset rule. And no matter how bad a mistake I make today, she's got to bring it up today or we don't talk about it. If we start in, well, you know, last week you did this deal. Nope, stop, out of bounds. You know, it just, and what it forces you to do is determine, do I want to discuss that right now? Is this worth going to the wall for, or let it go? And we do the same thing in my business. I tell my people, you know, if you've got something that you need to talk to me about, do it that day or let it go, and I'll do the same for you. So every day is a new day. I mean, you got your get-out-of-jail-free card. Just let it go. Forgive and forget.
I love this thinking because you lose so much time, and we all become cognizant of just how little time we have here every time we lose someone, or it appears mm-hmm. like we're running out of time. And to spend time back in history, in your head, trying to relitigate something you can't change, unless you have a DeLorean that can go 88 miles an hour and get 1.2 gigawatts from the cable hanging over town, you can't go back in time. And so it's about going forward. And it's about, you know, it's not about being ignorant to what you think was injustice, but it's about being smart and saying, okay, I may have thought I got messed over on that, but if I can't do anything about it, I'm just holding me back. That guy's running ahead. He's going faster than me already. And you got to be smart about it. I love the story of Palmer, because now that I think about it, I remember this story popping up every now and then, but I didn't realize it was Ken Venturi, who must have felt tortured every time he had to announce another success of Arnold Palmer's or another historic moment from Arnold Palmer in his many decades announcing golf. That had to drive him nuts.
Well, and golf is a different sport. You know, people in baseball, football, basketball get used to it. Officials make bad calls. And, you know, people can sit there. If this guy had not made that call on that day and he totally missed it, then my whole life, my career, everything would be different. Well, it's just part of the game. It just happens. And so it just, you know, it's not worth it. Now, when I talk about forgive and forget, I'm talking about the incident. If somebody repeatedly does you wrong, it doesn't mean you line up and do business with them again. But, you know, the incident in question, forgive, forget, move on. It's just so much better way to live. And you're not letting them off the hook. You're just freeing yourself from carrying around this burden of garbage all the time.
You're not letting them off the hook. You're freeing yourself. And that is the excellent crystallization of this week's Winner's Wisdom column from Jim Stovall. And you should get it. You should go to jimstovall.com and sign up. It shows up in your inbox each and every week. He's done over 1,000 of these, and we break them down on the radio each week as well. Jim, have an incredible week, my friend, and I look forward to next week.
You too. Be well. You're the best.
And there he goes. Jim Stovall, always inspirational. You should get the column. You really should. I was going to get out of here, but I just got sent something from my friend Tom Elliott. He's the guy behind a site called Grabian, Grabian.com, that puts a lot of videos together and puts out news clips that a lot of people wouldn't see. He watches MSNBC and CNN, so you and I don't have to, and keeps us up to date on things. And he just put together a montage that makes sense because it shows us how the left was accusing Donald Trump of using the DOJ as his own personal police force to keep his political opponents silenced. And then you intercut it with what's been going on with Trump and all these indictments. We're just coming up on the one-year anniversary, I guess, of the first of the big indictments. And it sure seems like the old adage that we keep saying is true. When they point a finger at you, there are three pointing right back at them. Check this out.
Now that he's got the right attorney general in position to do it, we now know they really have been trying to gin up criminal prosecutions and criminal investigations into the president's perceived enemies. Politically motivated persecution, right? Courtesy of Bill Barr. I'll roll in the FBI on you. That's how banana republics work, right?
The home of the 45th president of the United States has been raided by the FBI.
Mr. Trump is using the Justice Department to go after his perceived enemies. I feel worried about the prospect of the Justice Department being used as a tool of this president or any. In our little banana republic, any capable prosecutor can get a grand jury to hand down an indictment of something as innocent as a ham sandwich.
Today, an indictment was unsealed, charging Donald J. Trump.
Breaking news on former President Trump. He's been indicted for the fourth time in 5 months.
Bill Barr, on the president's behalf, is weaponizing the Justice Department to go after the president's enemies. When you win an election, you don't seek to just prosecute the losing side.
The president using the Justice Department as a weapon to get what he wants.
Department of Justice is totally politicized.
Sicking the Department of Justice on political opponents.
Threatening to imprison his political rival, banana republic style.
Trying to exact revenge against all of his enemies. Tin pot dictator in a banana republic.
Is acting more like a banana republic dictator.
He's using government resources to go after his political opponent.
Essentially, we are a banana republic. That we are... seeking to have a bogus criminal investigation into a political opponent.
And that's using the Department of Justice to also target Trump's political opponent for nefarious reasons. This is a massive abuse of power and a betrayal of our values.
So that's only one third of the way through this compilation. And it just shows you exactly what we said. They've been saying Donald Trump was weaponizing the DOJ while they were preparing to weaponize the DOJ and then have successfully done so. Amazing. We'll have so much more tomorrow, and you're welcome to join me as I am in for my friend Justin Barkley on 910 AM Superstation out of Detroit. I'll post links at PureOpelka.com And we've got so much planned already, and that's not even including the election coverage, so you have to be here. So thanks for being here on Super Tuesday. You know, there's no results until we get the results, and the polls aren't closing till tonight, and it's all across the country. So we'll do it again tomorrow. Till then, testudo, my friends. Testudo.